Hello and welcome, Mitch Bocott. It's Todd Cameron here with Paradigm Shift, and thank you for joining us again today. And as always, we want to give all glory to our father, our forefathers, who were Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Our father being Yahweh Yahuwah Elohim, with our King, our Messiah, our Mashiach, sitting at his right hand, waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool by his kings and priests who are being made to remember his times and seasons again over the earth, so we can pick up our staffs and follow our Messiah.
That's right, so that we can take responsibility for the times, signs, and seasons of our people. No longer will we go to the pagans expecting them to settle matters between us, above us, or below us. And for the first time ever in Todd and I's 14, 15 years of working for Father and trying to be closer to Him, could we ever say, "Thus saith Yahuwah." That is what we believe to be directly from our King. He no longer wants you to go on their schedules. He wants us to start taking responsibility for time. And the way we do that is we measure it. We observe it. We
see how He created it. How His clock moves above our heads and over the earth.
This is the ultimate paradigm shift. You know, we came into the Messianic idea, into Messianic Judaism, into the understanding of the Hebrew roots. You know, that was a paradigm shift. Yes, it was. But we can't stop shifting there. Once, now that we're here, we have a lot of garbage to dig through. As many of you know, many of you who've listened to us for any period of time have realized the garbage on the secular levels and what the devil's actually been allowed to do as he controls everything around us. But now, let's go even deeper and look right into our own Hebrew roots and how corrupted that they may be. And what's going on right now is a phenomenal thing regarding the calendars, regarding what is a calendar and what is a count.
And, who started the calendars and how they got started and where they came from. And we're going to go all the way back to, you know, the days of just coming off the boat of Noah, of our cousins back in those times. You know, when we all first started returning to Torah Messiah, the living word that walked this earth and died and then rose again and awaits for his people to return to his times and seasons according to the way he walked them and how he treated our people, one another, in the righteous heart of living out Torah on the earth. The first thing that begins to return most of us to our Hebraic roots of our father's times and seasons, our father's Shabbats, and to seek them out is to when we started to discover that the
Constantine
changed the times and the seasons, and he killed, murdered many of us during the Dark Ages, millions of us, in order to think to change the times and the seasons the scripture has talked about. And then what came out of that was Catholicism and Protestantism, and they could have wholly controlled that through their Jesuit Illuminatic power from the Venetian nobility coming directly from Rome all the way up to the present day with the Rothschilds and the Windsors, mainly the Rothschild family bloodline that patronized families like J.P. Morgan and Rockefeller in this country to slowly take it over and consume this nation as well.
Which we kind of like to lump all of them in together as the dragon bloodline,
the Canaanites.
Priesthood or the dragon kings of the earth that have been given the authority and permission to do all of this. Well, they've done a lot more than we realize, and this is the time that Father wants us to understand that. So what we want to do
it's one thing to look at, okay, yes, we go with this, this is how we keep a Shabbat, and this is how we keep a Passover, this is how we keep an unleavened bread, this is how we keep a first fruits, and then the fall feast, and learn how to, you know, take the physical actual steps It's another thing entirely to understand the importance of the control of these times and seasons and what it means over our minds, our bodies, our souls, our spirits, how it affects the earth and the heavens above our heads, and whether we get curses or blessings, and then who defines whether those are cursings or blessings that we are receiving. Because ultimately, in total corruption, all the Canaanite kings of all the pillars that they've ever put up of time, axis mundi, prime meridians of the empires over the earth, every single one of them has sent us into corruption, fleshly corruption, to where we get to do anything that we see fit in our own eyes, and so does everyone else. And that's the main reason why they come and hammer Yahweh's feast, our Father's feast, and our people, because we believe in only one God, only one high Elohim of all creation in the universe, and He has one set of laws, one set of Torah for all.
And what's important about that is Yahshua's blood. Because Yahshua's blood, our enemies have talked about how they can't circumnavigate Yahshua's blood. His blood changed everything for them. So when we come underneath that covering, it does set us apart, and it does give us a power that nobody else has. And so this thing that about the calendar, if you don't believe that it's important about your times and your seasons, then you don't know your enemy very well. Because your enemy has been studying times and seasons, and your enemy says that time is the most important thing to understand. The tools of Freemasonry are navigation. They want to know where they're going and when they're going to arrive. Those are the two most important things.
And who gets to dictate that? And then that dictates the weights and measures that are used in your banking system, in your mercantile system that's over the world, and they can inflate and collapse. That's based on worthless and vain things. The money's not even real. So
let's just hit the calendars real quick, so people understand a little bit about, once you have left Christianity and you're no longer in pagan Christianity doing Christmas and Easter and all those things, you begin to try to do it in the way of Torah. You try to become Torah observant. Well, there's a lot. You'll begin to find out that there's a lot of calendar issues in the Torah observant people. So a lot of people can actually bring you Torah and tell you this is the way you should keep your calendar, and that's a really stunning observation on our part, because that means that nobody's got it right. Something's wrong when you can have that many different calendars, okay? And so all we're trying to do is figure out, what's the beginning? Where do we start? And what do we have to let go of in order to begin to come close to the truth? So let's start with the Hillel 2 calendar. The Hillel calendar is a rabbinical calendar. And what they do is it's calculated. They decide on the days ahead of time, and basically the Jews follow it. And most people coming into Torah roots are following the Jews and want to be like the Jews and do what the Jews do.
And Jews, that's a slang term, right? It's our brothers, Yehuda, of the southern kingdom of Israel.
The Yehudim, those were the Jewish people.
The Yehudim, they were the Benjamite and the Yehudites. And also there was the tribe of Levi that was in there, and then when the collapse of the northern empire, the 10 tribes of Israel began to occur, there was many of the tribes that went in and melded in with Yehuda and joined with them, while the masses of them, were scattered to the winds of the four corners of the earth, with most of them ended up in the southern seas of Russia becoming Parthia. But they also settled colonies like Great Britain. They also settled over here in North America and in South America and many other places around the world, Japan, India.
So from there, on the Hillel calendar, people begin to say, well, now wait a minute, what's this Saturday thing? How is Saturday something from Yah? Saturday's totally man-made. It's got a pagan god's name on it. And they begin to go, I don't think some perpetual Saturday actually exists. And they begin to move away from what has been ingrained in the Jewish people for so long. And they begin to start searching for other ways to set their Sabbaths, because they just know that this idea of a man-made day cannot be the way of Yah. And then they begin to find moon. The moon begins to surface into their lives. They begin to look to heavenly things to try to understand what the bodies up there are doing, and can they tell us the times. Now, when you get into the moon, boy, do you get splintered off there. Now, we're in a filtering process here, Mishpacha. We're watching people
returning.
Go from pagan Christianity into the sieve of Jewish Christianity, into the sieve of the lunar-based, Torah-observant people. Yes, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And in the moon-based, we have the conjunction, the people who think you go by conjunction, the people who think you go by sighting the sliver of the new moon as it comes in, or people who think that you go by the full moon. And some people believe you cite it from Israel, and some people believe you cite it from wherever you are. Now, as far as we're concerned, don't call each other. names over this stuff. Don't call it crap. Don't call it, you know, evil. Don't
do lunatics. Call each other lunatics.
What we're watching is that our brethren are trying. As long as you are trying to study to show yourself approved, do not put down your other brethren, whether they're at the place that you are or not, because you were once in darkness too. And so this moon thing has everybody divided, even on those levels.
And a couple other ways that people keep the Hebraic calendar or attempting to return to Father in his times and seasons is by using the Aviv barley in a combination with the moon.
They say you go look for the green
ears of barley. Or they'll use the green ears of barley, looking for the green ears of barley association with the equinox. We've been talking about that as well.
But how that happens is they don't use the equinox. They use the green ears of barley. And then once they find the barley, they set their date. Other people will just use the equinox and they don't bother with the barley. But both of those are still lunar-based calendars. Either you find the green ears of barley and the next new moon is the beginning of your month, or you wait for the equinox and the next new moon is the beginning of your month.
So that's the two there. The main point that we're all searching for, Mishpacha, is where is the beginning? Where is the point of beginning?
Yes.
And that's what all these calendars are struggling to do. And the reason why this obfuscation, this confusion has leaked in, this mixing that has come in, it's because of our fault. We're the ones who went away from our Father's times and seasons. And the book of Hosea lays it out for us plainly of what was going to happen to us when we rejected and set new times and seasons in the northern 10 tribes of Israel when we split off as a civil war when Solomon had passed away and his two sons had a civil war. So the northern kingdom of Israel was formed and the southern kingdom of Yehuda was formed. Yehuda at the time still kept more closely to the times and seasons of our father than did the northern tribes. And the northern house, the northern kingdom, decided to set up all new times and seasons, feast days, in order to keep the people as a part of the northern empire, the northern Israelite empire, and out of and away from the temple of Yahweh in Yehuda.
And they got hammered for it.
That's right. So we end up getting, you know, and Hosea tells us what happens, and we end up getting scattered across the world. He said we'd forget who we are and forget our roots because we chose other times and seasons. So we went and married another whore, other women, and decided that there was another father for us to be following, and that's where we end up with Christianity today and the Christmas celebration, which is the same pagan death ceremony of Osiris, Nimrod,
Samaria,
it's all the way back to Samaria, and that's where we're going to start with next.
I want to hit the when you move from the sun. Todd and I, we've been watching the heavenly bodies. We've been, you know, literally trying to loose our ideas, let our paradigm shift here. If that's what Father wants, we are not stuck on anything. So whenever you guys send us stuff, you don't have to tell us to keep an open mind. Don't worry, we're there. We're just searching. We want the truth. We have no agenda here whatsoever. Other than
nuggets from all of it.
What does Father want?
Good job that you're working and you feel that you are led to impress, to seek Him and in your research, you're not going to find the absolute truth. None of us are on our own because it's a collective restoration of the body of Yeshua HaMashiach on the earth. So each of us are needed. So that's why if we put each other down, all we're going to do is up with a house even more divided, and then that's going to fall. So no calendar that is a holy bunker, like we're the only calendar on the planet and everyone else is wrong. That house is going to fall because it's going to be Yahweh and Yahweh alone that's going to gather us all back together, and we're going to be underneath one iron rod, one axis mundi of time and space, one prime meridian that is centered in Jerusalem, and Torah will flow from it to all the earth.
If you've got any of these holy bunkers, then your heart matters are off right there. Your heart's not stable. Anything that you're holding on to and can't let go of,
it's because
you've
got
unstable
issues in your heart.
That's right.
You've got things from your childhood and things that have happened to you in your life where you take it out on others, and you've got to rearrange. You demand that other people rearrange the world around you, or you're going to give them a hard time. You're going to talk bad about them. You're going to do all the sins, and there's going to be more division among us, which that is magic and sorcery, like we said over and over and over again.
So you guys, our awesome listeners, have been sending us all kinds of information, and we have been feverishly trying to go through and sift and discern what is tov, what is good in the information that you've been sending. And what we keep coming back to in very interesting ways is this Hanukkian calendar. The Hanukkian calendar, it deals with the sun. So then we started looking at the sun and into the sun and realizing, my gosh, this is the greater light that rules the day. And how do we measure this thing?
That's funny.
And that's where the sundials have come from that everybody's so interested in, that we've been fielding requests and orders. These things are being handmade by by us in our house. So we are doing the best we can to get them out to you guys. I don't think it's going to be ready for the spring feast measurements, but we guys get them. Practice with them so that you understand when the seventh month comes.
All of our people understood shadows very easily. So like if they were out in a desert, they had a staff in their hand, they could tell what time it is just by simply knowing in a basic approximation from above a sand hill where their northern pole star was located. They could just lean their staff over and get a good approximation of the time of day.
And nowadays we have a chunk of sundials that, you know, there's sundials out there that are $500 and they're just garden art and people have no concept of how these were used, and yet they're spoken of in places like Isaiah 1:14 or somewhere in there. It talks about the actual sundial and it being the sun going backwards on it.
That was Hezekiah's day when that was going on. And also Yeshua, he verified to us that there's only 12 hours in a day. It doesn't matter how long or short they are. So we've been going over that incessantly. We really want to get to starting
Isaiah 38. That's where that is about the sundial. And we're going to put that in there. And so, yes, now we're going to talk about we've been talking about the sun. Now we're going to move towards why we've moved away from the moon, why the moon appears to have been corrupted.
Yeah, it was corrupted. And, you know, the whole calendars, all the calendars have been corrupted. And the reason why we have such a mixed mash today and no one understands exactly how to measure out the times and seasons is because we don't begin with the principal foundation, and that's the greater light. And our ancestors used to use the greater light as the principal foundation to understand the beginning and ending of the year. And then the moon also lined up with the first and the seventh month, as Enoch is going, we're going to read from the book of Enoch, and he's going to describe that. We're also going to go back to the ancient Sumerians, and that's where we're going to begin, and you're going to see some very interesting writings in there. You're going to see Hebrew language that's used in it, and the Sumerian writings is because we were less corrupted culture coming off of the boat in the time of Samaria, and by the time you go through each age, each empire, to today, we just don't have a clue which way to go or where we're coming from.
So that's the thing to remember, is that Sumeria got their information from our ancestors coming off of the boat. Sumeria did not come first.
No.
And so what you'll see when you study Samaria is a lot of Hebrew words and a lot of Hebrew ideas, but then it was changed to the fallen angel understanding and the way that they wanted the people to worship.
That's where they started. That was the main principal religion on the earth at that time, where they started to amalgamate Yah into the pantheon gods of the fallen ones who the Sumerians, our ancient cousins, were actually doing the old Oonga-Boonga again, the prior flood, Oonga-Boonga, and they started getting their channeling contacts with the fallen ones all over again to begin the genetic race between the two seeds of that came out of the garden all over again after the flood of Noah.
So the Sumerian moon god was named Sin. And there, you know, we can do all kinds of word studies on that name, Sin. Then they also called her Nana. And she was the god of the moon in the Mesopotamian mythology. That would be in Akkad, Assyria, and Babylonia. So Nana is a Sumerian deity. She was the son of Enlil and Ninlil. She became identified with the Semitic Sin, the name of the moon god. The two chief seats of Nana's or Sin's worship were Ur in the south Mesopotamia and Haran in the north.
Ur is where Abraham lived.
Yes, okay, and so the original meaning of the name Nana is unknown, but the earliest spelling was found in Ur and Uruk. The name of Ur is itself derived. It means abode of Nana. That would be, again, the moon god, okay? So then, as we are reading on in this paper on Sumeria, the Semitic moon god, Sin, is in origin a separate deity from the Sumerian Nana. But from the Akkadian Empire period, the two underwent a synchronization, and they became identified together.
By the time you get to Antiochus Epiphanes, who we're going to get to through time here, he was worshiping the god Sin, the moon, and he had the new moon birthdays, which he forced upon our people when he was torturing them.
And it's interesting because the name of the Assyrian moon god Sin is usually spelled as Enzu, or simply with the numeral 30 or a triple X, which we've done some stuff on the triple X. There was that the shooting in Aurora, the triple X was over that and stuff. Commonly Enzu means Lord of Wisdom. During the period that Ur exercised a large measure of supremacy over the Euphrates Valley, Sin was naturally regarded as the head of the pantheon. So that's the moon god was the head of the pantheon.
He was male. You're going
to
hear
it
this.
It is to this period that we must trace such designations of Sin as the father of the gods, the chief of the gods, the creator of all things and the like. The wisdom personified by the moon god is likewise an expression of the science of astronomy or the practice of astrology, in which the observation of the moon's phases is an important factor. So the wife of Sin was Ningal, and she bore him Shamash, the sun, and Inanna or Ishtar, the goddess of the planet Venus. So you can see that already the flipping around of the greater light in Sumeria. No longer was the greater light meaning anything. Now it was just born from the moon.
That's right. And the word for the sun is?
Shamash. That's a Hebrew word for the sun. It's
still
the Shamish.
Shamish.
Yeah.
Very, very close still to this day.
That's
the
right.
Hebrew language is in almost all languages across the entire planet. And they all started from this area where the first civilizations came from.
So Sin had a beard. He rode on a winged bull. The bull was one of his symbols, like the bull of heaven, and along with the crescent and the tripod. On cylinder seals, he's an old man with a flowing beard and the crescent symbol. In the astrotheological system, he's represented by the number 30 and the moon. This number probably refers to the average number of days in a lunar month as measured between successive new moons.
We think that possibly, you know, the moon was in sync with the sun in perfection before the flood, and it was on a 30-day cycle, and the sun was 360 days in the year. Actually, 364 with the turning of the suns at the solstices and the turning of the sun at the solstices and the equinox, as Enoch describes to us. Also, the winged bull that Sin rode on is representative of the bull, the Taurus that was in the heavens, and also the bull worship that was on the earth, where they used the oxen to plow the ground and bring up food so they could have civilization, which the Sumerians talk about that their gods gave them the technology, like the plow and writing and makeup, math and all these things. And the Egyptian civilization was beginning at the same time, and as the Tower of Babel came after the Sumerians, and the Egyptian civilization brought out their pantheon as Isis, Osiris, and Horus.
And so Sin, you know, had the sanctuary at the Assyrian city of Haran, but they also, the cult of the moon god spread to other centers, so that temples to him are found all around the large cities of Babylonia and Assyria. And to read from the British Encyclopedia, Sin is the Sumerian Nana in a Mesopotamian religion, the god of the moon. Sin was the father of the sun god Shamash, and in some myths of Ishtar, or the goddess of Venus. This formed an astral triad of deities. Nana, the Sumerian name for the moon god, may have originally meant only full moon, whereas what was later Sin designated the crescent moon. They're intimately connected with cattle herds that were the livelihood of the people. You know, that's how the cult developed. It was represented sometimes as the great horns of the bull, like we just told you. They were looking for this moon god to bestow fertility and prosperity on the cow herds and, how many dairy products they would get and that whole idea. Gradually, Nana or Sin became more human from being depicted as a bull or a boat. Because of his crescent emblem, he became to be represented as a cow herd or boatman. And so you can also see headdress. Sin was represented as an old man with a flowing beard, a wise and unfathomable god wearing a headdress of four horns surmounted by the crescent moon.
So, you know, this is a good reason why possibly in Hezekiah's day that Yah separated the moon from the sun and made the course of the moon not sync up with the sun like it did in prior days, because our people during Hezekiah's day were worshiping with other pillars, other ways, other gods, and he had just seen the northern 10 tribes of Israel destroyed because of this through the Assyrians, that Yah allowed him to come up and take care of our people because we went away from them.
And the Book of Enoch comes before the Sumerians. The Book of Enoch talks about the time of Noah's day, and it's a different calendar than what the Sumerians established, and what you find throughout all the cultures in history is Sumerian.
That's right. So we're going to go on reading about this, what the Sumerians had to say here, and there's some other interesting aspects that we've been telling you guys about, but we're going to read directly from the Sumerian scroll so that you will hear it for yourself about how our people were looking at and keeping the calendar of Yah during the Sumerian Empire. So the Melchizedek state or city-state that was in Sumeria at the time, It kept time according to Yah and his temple that they witnessed every year rise in the heavens on March 16th. We're running out of time, so we're going to continue this in part two. So keep tuning in, Mishpokah.
And keep looking up.
Definitely keep looking everything up on earth and in the heavens.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
False witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet.